brother. I appreciate that prayer. We're glad to be here. We came here, I guess it was a year ago. It feels like it's been a while. I know it was a nasty, rainy, cold day. A hurricane was coming through. But nonetheless, it was beautiful in here, and it made such an impression on us. I don't want you to think that you're just an afterthought. We came by here on purpose, and it wasn't just to see baby Kendra. We came here because we felt such a sweet spirit here last time, and so we knew that we wanted to stop by here on our way back. And just so that you know that you're very special, the meeting in McClenny was just going great. The spirit was there, and it was hard to leave that. But I knew that I wanted to be here to see you guys. So we love you. And if you would continue to pray for me, there's so many things that I've thought about maybe sharing with y'all. But I think I want to talk about love, and particularly our love for our Savior. And we know that He loves us, but unfortunately, I don't love Him as much as I'd like to. In the Song of Solomon, there's a point where the bride wakes up in the night and she notices that her husband is gone. And so she goes throughout all the city and she's looking for him, and she asks the maidens and she asks the watchmen, and nobody knows where he is. And finally she finds him. Now, how many times have you felt as if Jesus has just departed from you? You don't feel his presence? He never leaves you. But we leave him from time to time, and we think that he's gone from us. But she finds him, and it says that she held on to him and would not let him go. I rejoice in the day that when we're in glory with him, that I might get to lay my head on his breast and hold him close. But from time to time in this life, I feel as if I'm in his embrace. And in those moments, I don't ever want to let go. And so what I want to talk to you about this morning is, how do we abide in Christ? How do we live in that feeling of being close to Him? Let's look over with me to Luke, the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24. And I apologize if I'm moving quickly. I want to be mindful of the time. Luke chapter 24, and we'll look at beginning at verse 13. I want to give you an account of some people who came across Jesus in the flesh. They didn't exactly know it was him yet. But this has always been an encouraging account to me, because I feel like there are times when I'm in the presence of Jesus, maybe not in the flesh like this, but in a very special way, like here. And it's hard when you've got some sinners saved by grace singing to the King of Glory to not feel a little bit of His presence. And so I've already felt that this morning. But listen here, Luke 24, and verse 13, says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." Can you imagine this? Jesus himself comes to you. He comes and worships with us here. Now, we know that he does that in the Spirit. And I trust that he's pleased here. He's pleased to see us here worshiping. It's a cold day. There's a lot of other things that we could be doing. The bed sounds really nice right now. But to be here, you know he's pleased to see that. Worship in spirit and truth. Verse 16, "But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." Now listen to this. They're so sad so discouraged. They've already demoted Jesus from being the Savior to just a prophet. And they're sad because he died. Verse 20, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. He told us he would, we didn't understand it at the time, but he told us he would rise again after 3 days. And he's not here. Yea, and certain women also of company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Man, what an amazing Bible study. Yeah. So in traveling, they're just walking down this road. It takes a long time to get to this place. We have been traveling in the car lately, and it's been a wonder to talk about Jesus while we're doing this. But just imagine if Jesus himself came and he's sitting there in your car or while you're walking down the road, and he says, you know, we've got some time. How about this? I'll just teach you everything from Moses even unto now. Everything. Wouldn't that be amazing? That would be great. I would gladly step off of this pulpit to allow Jesus here to teach us. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? And so I think this was perhaps the best Bible study time that's probably ever been, when Jesus sat here and just taught them. And they drew nigh to the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. Can you imagine this? You have the opportunity to ask the Lord to abide with us. Stay with us. It's almost evening. You can just stay with us. And he does. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? You know it. You know that I've been blessed many times to hear the gospel under just the preaching of men filled with the Spirit. And if those men who are no doubt sinners, just like I am, just like you are, if I could be fed with that, just imagine if Jesus Christ himself was there preaching. That would have been an amazing thing. My heart would burn within me for that. So this is an instance in which people got to actually abide with Jesus. Now just think, if they would not have sought to keep him there with them, if they said, okay, well, safe travels, we'll see you later. Just imagine that. They got to eat a meal with Jesus after this great Bible study. We trust that we're going to fellowship together and eat after this, and that'd be great. Just imagine if Jesus was here and we bid him to stay with us and eat with us. Now, how do we do this? How do we do this? We can't have him in the flesh. We will one day. But he is here with us in the Spirit. So how do we abide with his Spirit? Let's turn to John 15. And this is where I want to really get into it and then hopefully close pretty soon. John chapter 15, the Lord gives us his way for us to do this. John 15, and I'll begin reading in verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now notice this. The Lord is telling us here where our supply is. Where our spiritual energy, if you want to say it, comes from. And a lot of times, I know when perhaps it's a busy time in my career or in school or whatever time of life you're in, we have busy times in which we don't focus on Jesus as much as we like to. And you notice that I begin to dry up pretty quickly. And before you know it, it feels like I'm just in a spiritual desert. And I go through that many times just because that I'm a preacher. No, don't think that just because somebody's a preacher that they're just some really spiritual person. I dry up all the time. I have to struggle with being a sinner and being in this flesh. So how do we prevent drying up as much as we possibly can is by staying plugged into that vine. Jesus Christ himself. Well, how do you do that? Because I always want to know, well, how do I do that? It sounds great to think that I can just plug myself into Jesus' vine and I can just sit there with him. Well, how do I go about doing that? He tells us. Notice here, verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. What is your purpose in life, child of God? What is the purpose of bringing up children in this sinful world? What is the purpose of God making us? Your goal in life is to glorify God. That is your chief end. That is your whole purpose. It's to glorify God. How do we glorify God? We bear fruit. That's what he tells us to do. He says, bear much fruit. Now, obviously, we know that there's many things that have to happen in order to bear fruit. But for one, there has to be a tree. You can't just bear fruit and not be spiritually alive. So in a sense, a miracle has to happen in the new birth. And the Lord gives you something there that is able to then grow fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. All right, so how do we then grow fruit with that tree within us? He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Okay, so he gives us another thing. Now, I hope I'm gonna simplify this for you, but just follow with me. So how do we bear fruit? We continue in his love. All right, verse 10, he says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Okay, so how do we continue in his love? We keep his commandments. Okay? So it's a chain here we're building. So in order to bear fruit, we continue in his love. In order to continue in his love, we keep his commandments. Well, Lord, what is your commandments? Verse 11, it says, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now notice this. Isn't this great? This is the lawgiver speaking to us and telling us what law he wants us to keep. Obviously, just because the Lord has paid for our sins and has satisfied the Old Testament, it doesn't mean that we suddenly can murder people or that the law is just thrown out. But he does say this. He says that all the law and the prophets are all summed up into this one thing. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with everything that you have, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. Why is that so important to God that we love one another? You know, he laid his life down for us. He loves you so much. You are precious to him. And for whatever reason, but his grace, he calls us the body of Christ. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that we don't have Jesus in the flesh to hold on to. and to love in that way. I can't lay my head on his breast. But you know, I have you. I have you in the flesh, and I can hold on to you and love you with all that I have. And you're the body of Christ. And so in a sense, when I hug you, when I love you, when I serve you, and when we serve and love one another, we are serving Christ himself. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And so although this passage may sound very complicated, and it was a lot of steps, I'll simplify it for you just like this. It says, if you want to abide with me, if you want to feel my presence, then love one another. That's what he says. Now, we've all seen this. We've been to churches in which they've got doctrine down pat. They've got, they're sound as can be, but yet they don't have love for one another. And that's how you have church splits. That's how you have all kind of terrible things in which the Lord isn't glorified and in which we forget him. But you know, if we love one another, if we lay down our lives for one another, what a beautiful thing, because in that posture, you see Christ and you feel his presence. Listen, he says here, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus has proven his love to you and that he laid down his life for you. You don't have to wonder about that. You don't have to think, well, Lord, I sinned this last strike and I know that I'm out now, that you're just going to cast me into hell now. No, the Lord has proven to you that he will be with you the whole way, because he died for you on the cross. But he expects us to do this too. And he doesn't expect you to go out and run in front of a train for each other necessarily. That's not what he means here. If that's what it takes, then yes. If that's what it takes. But laying down your life for somebody means more than just dying for somebody. It means living for somebody. I want you to know, and I want my church family to know, I want the people that I'm around to know that I love them and that I would put my life on hold for them and I would sacrifice all I have for them. The willingness to do that is what the Lord expects of you. And that seems like a hard thing. How do I do that? Well, there's a deep biblical principle of this, and it's fake it till you make it. You know, that sounds like some popular culture saying, but that is a biblical principle. In Proverbs, it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. If you don't feel like sacrificing your life for your brother or your sister here, well, just do it anyway. Do it anyway. You don't have to have the goody feelings about it. The Lord doesn't say, feel love for one another. He says, love one another. Love is a verb. Contrary to popular opinion, love is a verb and not just a feeling. But you know what happens when you do that action of loving one another? You can't help but begin to feel the feelings along with it. That's a biblical principle. You don't have to feel bad about just faking it until it becomes real. That is a biblical principle. So love your brothers and sisters. And you know what happens when you love each other? It covers a multitude of sins. It is a wonderful thing. You know, my wife can aggravate me from time to time. But you know what? I love her so much that it doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. If we were to take that and to apply it to our brothers and sisters in the church, oh my goodness. Wouldn't that be so great to not have to worry about breaks in fellowship or factions forming, or if we can't agree on something? And look, there's a lot of places the Lord says that they will know that you're my disciples by your love, not by your doctrine, not by the way that you worship, not by any of these things, but by your love for one another. Now just imagine that, if we were to actually love one another. That tells me that there are many things that we could disagree on doctrinally that would still be within the realm of love and grace. Now, sure, That doesn't mean that we throw doctrine out the window. Doctrine is very important. And we ought to be seeking the truth. We ought to be seeking Jesus with everything that we have. But if we throw out love, then we might as well just close up shop here. I hope that you're encouraged to love one another, and in so doing, to hold on to Jesus with everything you have. That's my prayer for this church, and I know that I feel that here in this church. I know that you love one another, but I ask that you even go further, that you try to see as far as you can possibly go with your love for one another. That's my prayer.
Amen. I thank the Lord for that message.